If you want to support the show, you can go to mwpnews.com/support, where you can pick up my latest book, Succession Planning, and all my other books that have previously been released on Kindle for only $2.99 each. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to 30 Minute Reviews. I'm Adam, in this a car episode because I had to do laundry yesterday and it took way longer than I thought I was going to. We'll talk about that when me and Josie get together to do Exploring Hyperspace Lands at some point in the near future. Probably for next week, not for this week. Either way, good morning. I'm tired today. So the Oscars were 2 days ago. Got some thoughts on that. If you want to see my way too early 2025 power ranking for Best Picture, you can go to mwpnews.com where I have a new article up where I basically go through, like, here are the movies that are currently up for Best Picture, or that I think are in contention for Best Picture at this point, and how they rank against each other and why they are where they are. We'll update that month to month as we go on. But yeah, so about the Oscars, Kimmel, not a huge fan of. I don't like him hosting. I don't think he's funny. Like, a good amount of his jokes just don't land. Like, Mulaney doing his bit where he, you know, he talks about, like, him doing the Field of Dreams bit, hysterical. He should have been hosting from the beginning. And that would have been a much better decision for everyone involved, including the viewer. Because I don't think that, like what you get from Kimmel is, like, someone who is openly contemptuous of movies. He is someone who visibly does not like, you know, like, he does not like the medium that he is giving awards in. Which is a problem. It's a problem that's the case. Like, even if he is poking fun at movies, there's still a reverence to what Mulaney is doing, and I think that he would be better suited, you know, from here on out, you know, doing that. And he was great at the Governor's Awards, too, so there's that. My other big issue was the stunt award thing, the stunts thing, because Emily Blunt and, Ryan Gosling have a new movie coming out. Tickets went on sale today, actually, for The Fall Guy, which is based on a TV show from the 80s, I think, about a stuntman who becomes a hero. Or it's a movie. I don't know. I think it was a TV show. But regardless, you know, movie's coming out in May. Early May, that movie comes out. Tickets are on sale now, however you can get your movie tickets. They never say the name of the movie, but I knew what it was. I feel like they just kind of ran out of time in this bit they were doing that went on a little too long with the Barbenheimer thing. Like, that was something where it's like, I'm not overly optimistic about that movie. And this was clearly an attempt to market that movie, where he's playing a stuntman. And what they do is they do this long bit about how important stunt people are. And they show these clips of people doing stunts in movies and how important that work is. And it's like, okay, great. Can we give them an award? Can we put a category in for like, best fight director, or best fight stunt coordination, best choreography, something like that? Like, no, I'm sorry, achievement in choreography, achievement in stunt coordination. Something like that. Because it's like, look, you're going to sit here and you're going to show us clips from John Wick 4, a movie that arguably could have been nominated for several awards. And had they had a category in choreography or stunt coordination, would have been nominated. Yet, the only way this movie gets acknowledged is in this thing, like, you guys are so important to what we do. We could not do what we do without you. But we will, like, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to award you for that. It feels weird. like, it felt like a weird thing to do, especially considering you just added a new category that's starting 2 years from now, Best Casting. So you can add new categories. I mean, look, you took away sound mix and sound editing and consolidated to Best Sound, when those are not at all the same thing, and I talked about this before. Sound mixing and sound editing are two very different skill sets that you cannot say, like, oh, that's the same thing, so we'll just throw them together in the same, you know, in the same little box. It's kind of dismissive, in a way, you know, to do it this way. And I feel like that was a little messed up. And clearly this was something that was done. It was a sponsored part of the show, very clearly. Wasn't thrilled about that. What I was happy about, congratulations to Court Jefferson for winning Best Adapted Screenplay. Yeah, because Justine Triet and Brian, I forgot his last name, won for Best Original Screenplay. Both of those were surprises to me. I thought Oppenheimer was my revised pick that I was like, well, I think Oppenheimer's not going to win Best Adapted, because it's based on the Oppenheimer, you know, like, biography. And then there was, what was the other one? And then for Adapted Screenplay, I thought it was going to be Poor Thing. I know, Best Original Screenplay, I thought it was going to be, I forgot what I picked instead. But either way, I did not think it was going to be Anatomy of a Fall. But Anatomy of a Fall is just a perfect movie. It's just kind of a you know, it's fantastic. It's going to be on Hulu later this month. So everyone should go watch that. No surprises in the major categories, I don't think. Devon Joy Randolph won for Supporting Actress. Robert Downey Jr. won for Supporting Actor. Nolan won for Best Director. And I really love what he said. And I love what Corey Jefferson said, too. Let's get off of that real quick. Because American Fiction is a great movie, and that's another one that you should go out and watch, even if you got to pay a little bit to see it through, to PVOD it. Very great movie, American Fiction. Love that movie. His speech was great when he went up there, and he's like, look, you know, thank you for going out there and taking a risk on a first-time director with this movie. Like, you know, we think about this, but like these $200 million movies are, you know, we like to think they're not risky, but they're just as risky. And in a way, Corey Jefferson's entire speech summed up the entire debate about what we refer to as superhero fatigue. The idea that superhero fatigue, I don't think it's a real thing. I'm gonna be honest, I don't. I think there is fatigue of bad movies, where people don't want to see shitty movies. But I don't think there is superhero fatigue, where it's like there's just too much superhero shit. Because people will turn out for good superhero shit. The issue is we got a lot of mass-produced shit recently. And then there's the Marvels, which did not do well. Motherfucker, I have my blind spot. So I have a 700-year-old man who's going, like, 30 on the highway in my blind spot. But regardless, you know, we look at, you know, the big issue that kind of exists in this, you know, with us. He goes, why don't you take a risk on doing, you know, $10, $20 million movies? Or, you know, I forgot his math that he used, but like, why don't you do that instead of, you know, putting all the risk, you know, on these giant movies that need to turn, like, $500 million just to turn a profit. And it's like, god damn, like, that was a great, like, it surmises everything from last year, where it's like the Flash bombed, where, you know, Shazam Fury of the Gods bombed. And it is this model of, like, too big to fail, where it's like, these movies will make money, so who cares? Let's put more money into them. And it's like the Ant-Man movies worked because they were cheap and they were funny. You make it $200 million and give it world-ending stakes, it's not an Ant-Man movie anymore. Sorry, but that's not how it works. Shazam worked because it was cheap and it was fun. And then they made it, you know, not fun. So all of that, notwithstanding, he had a great speech. But something that Nolan said during his speech stuck with me, and it was, him talking about, like, how things are changing and all that. And he's like, we're, like, movies are only 100 years old right now. Imagine being 100 years into the art of painting or theater. And imagine how much things will change as this grows. And it's like, God damn, Nolan. Like, and you know what? Like, this is a well-deserved win for Nolan, and good for him. Like, this, you know, this was good for him. Because he's been getting nominated for about 20 years. This was his 8th nomination. We had 2 people who had 8 nominations and 1 win now between Nolan with his 8-1, and then Wes Anderson finally winning an Oscar. Good for him, finally winning an Oscar. And again, well deserved for Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. But all that does is it increases my you know, view that I think Dune Part 2 is going to end up taking home a win for Villeneuve. I think we're looking at that right now next year. What else have we got? The biggest upset of the night, I think, was in documentary short, when you had best documentary short go to The Last Repair Shop, not the ABCs of Book Banning. I think the ABCs of Book Banning was, like, for a lot of people, myself included, kind of a guaranteed win. Because I thought the subject matter would be something that's, like, right on. That's something that will resonate with people. And what ended up happening was I watched the ABCs of Book Banning, and then I watched Thin Eye and WIPO, and then I was like, alright, I'll get back to the rest eventually. But I was like, I watched the ABCs of Book Banning, and I'm like, this is well done, it's well executed, and this is going to win. And then it didn't. Not super stoked. I mean, look, I've said it from the beginning. I think the best animated movie from last year was Nimona. Nimona was always going to be my pick in that category, even though it was a long shot and it had no chance of winning. The issue is, like, you know, and I think that if there was going to be something coming in second, it probably should have been The Boy and the Heron, because I don't think, like, Across the Spider-Verse was a good movie. But it wasn't great. Like, there's a sequence in Into the Spider-Verse that is a top 10 moment in cinema. And that's the Leap of Faith sequence. Like, it is easily one of the greatest things, I mean, in animated movie history, the way they do that. And the entire Spider-Verse, you know, duology at this point is an achievement. We talk about part 1 of 2 and all of that. That's kind of where this falls in. It feels like this is very much a part 1 of 2 movie. To which I'm like, all right, let's see how they see the landing on this. And that one will win an Oscar, but this one didn't. Daniel Kaluuya was great too as Spider-Punk. So what else have we got? Poor Things cleaned up. Emma Stone won Best Supporting Actress. And then it also got best, what's it called? What were the three got? Production design, costuming, and makeup. Those were, you know, I was surprised about production design. I thought production design was going to be Barbie's shot, but Barbie did win best original song. Best original score goes to Ludwig Göransson. Ludwig Göransson, I think he's going to have a long career ahead of him. I think he, you know, he is someone that anytime I hear he's doing a score on a movie, I'm immediately like, all right, let's see what we got here, because this could be something special. And that's just any time I see his name on something, I'm like, this could be great. Because, like, you know, the Creed score is fantastic. The Black Panther score is fantastic. The score for The Mandalorian is fantastic. This man is one of the great composers working right now. So good for him. Best sound going to Zone of Interest was a surprise for me. I am happy that it won. I'm surprised it won, though. Because the thing about that movie that makes it so strong, and I realize saying this is going to make it sound like I'm like, is gonna counteract my feelings about it being surprised that it won is the idea that, like, this movie doesn't really have a score for most of it. The ambient sound, where a score would be, is just the sounds of the horrors happening on the other side of the wall of Auschwitz. And that's what won it this award. And it's well deserved. Same, and it won Best International Feature, which was not a surprise. We talked about this when we made the predictions. Like, Justine Triet got, got shafted by the French government by not putting up, or the French Art Council, I guess is what it would be, for not putting up Anatomy of a Fall because she was critical of Michelangelo Macron? Donatello Macron? I don't know what his name is. Macron is his last name. But he is, you know, he's not a Ninja Turtle, I know that. But either way, he is, you know, she was critical of him during her acceptance speech at Cannes, and because of that, you know, they didn't put her movie up. They put up, it just came out last month, this fucking romance movie, The Taste of Things or something like that, which ended up not getting nominated. But I think that had it come down to a contest between Anatomy of a Fall and The Zone of Interest, I think what would have happened was the Anatomy of a Fall would have taken it. I think Anatomy of a Fall is a stronger movie. What else have we got to address here? Visual effects going to Godzilla. Well deserved. And I think that, like, this is one of those things where when you look at this, you're like, oh, this is what won, what was it back in 2015 when it beat Mad Max? Oh, Ex Machina. Ex Machina beat Mad Max Fury Road in the visual effects category. Why? Because it had fantastic looking effects on a small ass budget. And that's the same thing here. On a $5 to $15 million budget, they managed to make a good looking Godzilla movie that could stand toe to toe with Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla and Kong coming out later this month. And that is an achievement right there. Visual effects we did. Cinematography went to Oppenheimer. That one I didn't quite agree with. Like I said, you know, I really liked Poor Things and what they did with camera work. I was surprised that it didn't win there. I think Poor Things was the contender I had, where I was like, if something's going to beat Goranson on the Oppenheimer score, it's going to be... It's going to be, you know, it's going to be Poor Things. I don't know the name of the composer on that. Who else have we got? Who else haven't I addressed it? Editing went to Oppenheimer. Best Picture went to Oppenheimer, which was not a surprise. But yeah, I guess we'll wrap up there for today. I think we got everything. I think I got all 23 categories. Oppenheimer took home the most awards, and that's because it won, like, two acting, directing, and, what's this guy doing? It is a fantastic, you know, like, it was a good award show. I think it was a fairly solid award show, but, yeah, we'll wrap up there for today. Until our next episode, you know, which will be next week, as we'll schedule Monday morning at 9. Have a great rest of your week. Oh, and those of you looking for the backlog files, that will be going up tomorrow. We had a slight, again, snafu yesterday when I was going to record it. It's going up tomorrow now. Until then, have a great rest of your week.